Crossroad Boys. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm very, very well, my friend.
Are you now? Yeah. Why are you very, very well?
I don't know. It's just I spend time with you.
You're just a hole in the wall.
Brings me joy.
Hole in the ground. You're just a well.
Just a well.
A well.
Yep. With a bucket in the middle. Sorry. It's a bucket, isn't it?
It's a bucket.
Wrong starting letter.
Yes. Mm. So close.
So yes, close.
So far.
Yeah, well.
Now, I have two questions for you.
Beautiful.
Before we get on to our other topic.
Wonderful.
Guess what I saw five of today, which I don't believe I've seen five of these in the last 20 years.
First seal.
No.
Good guess, though.
Very, very good guess. Yeah.
Was it a Yeti? No, I'm going to even better. Tasmanian tiger.
No, I've never seen one of those before. Right, I'll give you a bit more of a hint because I think we're moving further away from what I've seen.
What's going with realistic answers, though? Really?
You were. How about you try...
Five Collingwood supporters actually playing good football at the same time.
Nope.
That hasn't happened
since 2023. It's a car brand.
Oh, a car brand.
Hmm.
Peugeot.
No, not a Peugeot.
Oh, a Peugeot.
Peugeot.
Okay, so we're going a brand.
Yeah, but very close.
Not a model, but a
yeah,
just
yeah,
a
very
brand.
Close with Peugeot.
Okay. Fiat.
No, I love the two that you've chosen.
I'm really going? Well, I don't want to go normal. I'm not going to say.
No, I love that.
I'm not going to go Holden.
No, because you see them all the time.
It's too obvious. Peugeot's gone. Fiat's gone.
I love the Fiat 500 though.
Oh, how good were they? I had the Maxbox car.
Yeah,
it was great.
I of all the cars that they've re-released, you know how they remade or reimagined the Mini.
You go on the Beetle, the Volkswagen.
No, I see them all the time. I think
DeLorean.
No, I have not.
Five of them together.
Once again, though, the DeLorean is closer to the car that I've seen than the Fiat, but just as close as the Peugeot.
Wow, it's like a Rubik's cube.
I love the reimagining of the Fiat 500 because it looks like the original Fiat 500. It's got the same color palette to it, the same lines and all that kind of stuff.
Just
I didn't
a modern
like
representation.
Yeah, I didn't like the reimagining of the Beetle.
No, it's not the same. Strangely enough, when we caught up yesterday,
there you are.
And when I was in Ulverston, I actually followed a little yellow Beetle.
Did it have the fucking little
the newer version
with the vase and the one flower in the top of the vase on the dash?
I didn't see the front
I think
of it.
It's an added extra.
Not sure. Don't know why you do that, but anyway, a little bit like the bobble-headed dogs at the front, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But each to their own. But as it was turning a corner, there was another old-school bug or a beetle further up. And I looked at two of them together and I had that same thought of, I see what you were trying to do.
You just
but you
it.
Haven't captured it.
No.
Like, I still look at the old bug and go, wow, that's fucking awesome. Like, you are Herbie. You are rich.
The love bug.
Yep.
And I think that's what happened with Mini as well. Like, I don't dislike the new Mini, but I've worked out what it is, why I like the old school Mini and not the new one. It's the chrome. I love the chrome bumpers. I love the chrome tailpipe.
Yeah, the newies are more plastic.
There's no chrome.
Yeah.
Cars don't get
chrome. I mean,
the new
Minis, I must admit, they had a cool little funkiness to them.
They do.
I mean, like, if someone offered me one and said, here, I'll give you one of these, $200. I'll
have
be
you
like,
driven one?
No, I haven't.
How do you feel about having the Speedo above your gear stick?
I were.
Yeah. In the center console, on
really?
Your left, slightly to his left, that's where your Speedo is, and I believe it's your rev gauge is the dial in front of you.
Oh, you see, but what that does, it just creates the opportunity to say, I'm sorry, officer, I couldn't actually see the speed I was traveling
I was only
at.
Doing a,
I was watching the road.
I was only doing 3,500.
Yeah, just watching the road.
5,500 in fourth.
I just assumed
yes.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safety first.
Safety first. So what does a DeLorean and a Peugeot have in common with the car that I saw?
One goes back in time.
Mm.
One also only plays Huey Lewis in the news.
Mm.
One loves Michael J. Fox.
Who wouldn't?
And Doc Brown.
Mm. Marty.
I seem to be focusing on only one vehicle at the moment.
You really are focusing
yeah.
very, very
I don't really know anything about the Fiat other than I thought the Fiat 500 was a cool car.
But I wasn't talking about the Fiat. I've discounted the Fiat.
Oh, the Fiat's gone.
It's the Citroen?
Yeah.
No.
The Peugeot.
I've just given it away.
Oh, it's a Citroën. Okay.
I saw a Citroën. So what does a Citroën?
So who makes DeLorean then?
No one anymore.
Well, actually, that's not true, because I believe they're going to be re-released.
That's the plan. But what's the similarity between the DeLorean, the Citroën, and the Peugeot?
I assume it's going to be where they come from.
Correct.
Yeah, and I couldn't even tell you when. I know it's Europe.
Vive la France. Oh.
Yes.
Fucking yes.
I didn't see that coming.
Countdown until, to the Parisian Olympics.
Until the base camp, where's it from? As soon as I said that.
You knew.
I knew it was coming. And I thought, oh, you idiot.
They're all French manufactured
cars.
You've
thoughtful troyed me.
I have.
Yeah. You've got a long way around to get to the point.
Yep.
And I didn't see it coming.
You did not.
No. Well played, son.
Thank you very much.
That's good. I like that.
And I really did see five Citroëns
today. Oh, you
didn't
just make it up?
No. It looks like there's some sort of car show in the Devonport area at some point in time. Because they all had a schmick? Well, they weren't all schmick, but they were all the old 1960s style Citroëns or the early 60s style.
I must say, I'd never considered how the name is actually pronounced till now. Like, I'd always seen it. I thought it was maybe something like Citroën or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know. Is it Citroën?
I don't know. But I do know that I think the French pronounce Peugeot as Peugeot.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But what famous TV show actor had a Citroën as his ride?
As his ride?
Australian TV actor playing an American in a TV series.
Really? That's probably something like Mr. Brown would it have been?
Simon Baker.
No, it wasn't Brian Brown.
No, it wasn't Brian.
It was Brian Brown, wasn't it? He was in like Cocktail or
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. No, he wouldn't be seen dead in a Citroën.
Or any of the fruits.
No, it was Simon Baker in what is it called?
Something about a mind, isn't it?
Yeah, the mindful man or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know
Mastermind
the one you mean,
or whatever. Yeah.
There you go.
Dangerous Mind. No, that Citroën. That was bloody Michelle Pfeiffer. Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of reimagining, I will bring up something. I did a movie marathon on Saturday.
Old school movie marathon like we used to do when we go to the pictures and you'd start at 9 o'clock at night and finish at 4 in the morning?
No, just two movies in a row.
Well, hang on. If you're watching,
maybe it's not a marathon.
If you're watching Dances with Wolves, the director's cut, true, and Braveheart, the director's cut, there's 6 hours of your life.
Or having just one Lord of the Rings.
Or one Lord of the Rings.
Not even the director's cut.
Correct. Just Lord of the Rings.
But I decided to watch a new movie that had come out.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what? I want to watch the first one. The original first.
Mm.
So we did a Roadhouse marathon.
Excellent. Now, we both love the original Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
Yep. Look, I realized one thing I have realized with Roadhouse, like it was never, I don't think it made a lot of money back in the day. I don't think it was a huge hit.
I don't think it made,
I think it was a bit of a,
it cost a lot of money either.
I think it's one of those that just over time has gained a bit of love.
Yeah.
And it's just build and build and build. And obviously because Mr. Swayze isn't with us anymore as well.
Yeah.
I think that wonderful little cycle of films he did around like Roadhouse and Ghost and Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And that little bundle, I think, has just held really strong.
Yeah.
With fans of movies from that, you know, the 80s.
Yeah, and they were good.
But I realised, though, there was a little bit of, I suppose, memory, emotional goggles on when you watch these films.
Oh, like, the old Amnesia Lane.
You connect differently with the film because it was your era.
Yes.
It's a little bit like how with music, for instance, like every generation is like, oh, that music sucked, blah, 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 or this music sucked. You know, like you say, the kids are listening to whatever. Oh, it's not like the music I used to listen to. Every generation says that.
No question.
Because you emotionally connect with something of your time and nothing will compare to it.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I played my son some 90s house music today and he's like, no.
No.
No. No.
Well done, Jake.
Yeah, no. Jake was, and he's into most stuff.
Yep.
But I put on Born Slippy and he was just like,
really?
No.
Didn't like it.
Bad boys. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Good though.
Trainspotting. Like that was the theme song to Trainspotting. I just loved it. But maybe because I love Trainspotting. I love the remake.
Yeah, it sits in that space where we just love it because it was our time.
Correct.
Something we were connected with. So I get that movies, essentially, they have that.
Yes.
There's no way around that. You connect with something. And it might be because maybe you were it was a period of your life when things were exciting. It might have been your first date with a girl, or it might have just been a fact if you loved that actor back then, or whatever it was.
Yep.
You connect. So there's that. But in saying that, I still believe Roadhouse is a great film. It ticks all the boxes.
So was there any nod in the remake
yep.
to the original?
Yes, there was, but not a lot.
But like it wasn't, you know, you really, you know, milking it.
Yeah, see, the person playing Dalton in the new one is yes. Jake Gilliagalaglaglovlov.
Yes.
Out of Donnie Darko.
Yes.
I never remember his last name.
Who would?
I just remember it's Gilly something. Good actor, though.
Sure.
Like, I actually really like him. I've seen a lot of his stuff, and shit, I actually name, good like actor. The guy. You know, if he's listening, I think Anthony Porter is a duplicate.
Perfect.
You know, someone we know very well.
And go Porter.
Does listen occasionally. Yeah. He has similar facial features, both ugly.
Are you sure Porter wasn't in Roadhouse then?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he's quite fit enough.
I would love.
Jake was built in this movie.
I would love, love to see Porter act in a film about being a bouncer. That would just be
better still,
a delight.
If we recreated one scene out of the new Roadhouse and put him into it.
Yes.
Oh, it'd be spectacular.
It's probably the driving scene, if I'm perfectly honest.
We don't want any action.
Yeah. Or where he's listening to someone else speak.
Yeah, so there's not many nods. There's one when they talk about fighting. One of the great lines in and Patrick Swayze, it should have been corny, but he just had an essence about him in that movie.
Yeah,
he had a cool factor. And one of the, I think it was the doctor in the original one, said something about, you know, like, you know, with fighting, do you ever win? And he just come back with a serious line of, you know, no one ever wins a fight. So for him, it wasn't about just beating the shit out of someone.
It was just.
It was like, this is a means to an end to solve a problem.
Yeah. So, this is the way I solve problems.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, he's not saying I don't like doing it. I don't actually win if I win.
Yeah.
But that problem is now solved and done. So that line is used in the new one.
Yep.
Which I thought was a nice nod. But for me, Jake carrying this character off, he doesn't have the same calmness and coolness that Swayze had
about him.
Yeah, pretty much.
No swagger.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed the movie. I didn't mind it. You got Conor McGregor playing kind of the bad guy.
Which he would be if he reins in it enough. I reckon he would, in the trailers, he looks like he is note perfect.
Yeah, and he's like, he's a built mad son of a bitch.
Yeah, and he didn't have to get any fake tattoos.
No, and it's his first acting gig.
Yep.
Hasn't done it before, but obviously there's a bit of acting in what they do.
It's all showman. He is a showman, no question about it.
But I will say, I think he is over showman in the movie.
See, that was my
problem. He walks around like he's just a swagger gorilla.
Bit too much.
All the time.
Yeah.
I think if he toned it back 30%, I think he could have been ultra cool.
Yeah, and see, that was my problem. When I looked at the trailer, I thought, if Conor McGregor is the persona that we see in the UFC, it'll be too much and it'll overshadow a character which probably needs to be a bit more light and shade.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've just got all this fucking up front on there, right there, you don't get to see the subtle nuance of what makes that person the way they are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can have really good bad guys who just do not a lot.
Yeah, exactly right.
And in that not a lot become really powerful. So that was my concern.
Yeah, and look, it's valid.
But
I still reckon he went okay.
Oh, yeah.
But
I aren't hanging shit on Conor McGregor.
No, great job. Should get an Oscar.
Absolutely.
All the Oscars.
And
best
star.
Supporting actor, best actor, best producer, best director, you know, best film because you made the film.
Yes.
You wrote the script. Yeah,
best adaptation of a screenplay.
Yep. So you just take it
best
all.
Best animation.
So, look, he overdid it a bit. The one thing I think was missing, the one thing I loved about the original, and I'm not going to give much away on the new one because, I mean, go watch it. It's still an okay film. Didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But one of the scenes I really loved in the original was when he first gets to the bar, Patrick Swayze.
Yep.
And he goes in and no one knows who he is. Goes up to the bar and he orders a coffee, doesn't get a drink, and he just watches.
Yep.
And he watches the people fighting the wrong way. He watches them fighting people in the bar instead of removing them from the bar. And he watches people taking a bit of money from behind the bar. And he watches all the interaction. He watches a few of the barmaids dealing drugs in the bar. He watches it from a silent point where no one knows is anyone any different.
Yeah.
And then when everything is done, He then steps up and says,
you're fine,
you're gone. And they're all like, what the fuck? It's like, well, no, you're not going to deal drugs here, you're dealing drinks.
Yep.
You know, you're basically, all you want to do is fight people.
Yeah.
We don't want that. It's not what we do here.
Yeah.
We make it a safe place for people to enjoy themselves.
Mm.
It's not a place where we brawl. You're gone. You don't fit.
Yeah.
And that's all good. And then he starts cleaning up the system and being like a mentor to these people.
Yeah.
And it's great. And then, of course, the story just evolves in the background and, you know, there's nothing new there. There's no surprises. You know where it's going to go.
Correct.
In this one, though, Jake's character comes to the bar.
Yep.
And he gets a coffee, he sits back, and he watches for a bit, but then there's a bit of a fight and then that kind of disappears and then there's no real coming together of I'm the Yoda of this bitch.
Yeah.
That's all just kind of gone. And I think you lose the essence of the character a little bit, that cool factor that Swayze had. And I think Jake in this one, not his fault, because he just played the role he was given and the script he was given.
Just didn't read the room.
I just don't think it actually held the same sort of, wow, this guy's cool sort of factor to it.
Yeah, no, it's fair call.
Bit of the action stuff was good. I said Conor McGregor as a bad guy was okay.
Yeah.
The one thing missing was actually, and I can't remember his name, but... And that's terrible, but the older guy that's in the original, is it Sam?
Yeah, with a deep voice, southern drawl, beautiful mustache. God, Sam.
He's been in so many freaking cool things. In fact, I can't remember his surname. It's terrible, but he was phenomenal in that film.
He's phenomenal in everything.
Yeah, and he is. Absolutely no doubt about it. But there wasn't that character in this movie.
Oh, okay.
And that was a missing piece too, I think.
Yeah.
So, but look, it wasn't terrible, but it's another one of those where reimagining – what's considered a classic wasn't a masterpiece, but it's known as a bit of a classic now.
It sounds like you're a bit the same way as I was with White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, so you had the same scenario with that. It's like they're pretty much, mind you, that was nearly scene for scene in a lot of places.
This was pretty much note for note.
Yeah.
But they didn't change the story that much. They changed it a little bit. They changed a couple, but it was just essentially the exact same story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you missed some of the bits that kind of made... Like Woody Harrelson just has that dopiness way of acting that you believe that he shouldn't be able to play basketball.
Yeah.
Whereas the new guy, you could see he was acting like he was the dopey guy, and it was just different.
Yeah. You know? Major, once again, though, I mean, Woody Harrelson is he's a class act.
Sure.
Guy can act. I mean, back then, of course, he was a bartender. He was a bit stupid, and everyone's like, yeah. Like, does this guy have it? But you watch him knowing now with the breadth of acting experience he's got, he's had some great roles.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a hard one to replace.
At what point during the process do you think when they said, Jake, you've got the role, we need a big bad, Conor McGregor, we've got him, we've backed up the money truck, we're going to give him his first acting job. How do you reckon the conversation went with, please don't fucking hurt me? because I mean, regardless of whether or not what weight division he is in, Conor McGregor is one of the most dangerous men on the planet.
Oh, no doubt.
When it comes to fighting.
Whether you like him, hate him, or anything else, the guy
fear him.
The guy's built to be feared.
Yeah. He has got raw anger and the skills to back it up.
Yeah. But Jake in this
and
movie.
And now he's got an Academy Award. Yeah. I mean, he's unstoppable.
Jake in this movie, five of them.
Five of them.
Jake in this movie is so built. He's almost plastic.
Oh, really?
Like he's put the chops and he's Wolverine himself up.
Okay. Yep.
Like every ab has its own identity.
Has he got the cum gutters?
it's nuts. Like he is so built, it is ridiculous. But I suppose when you're going to go up against someone like McGregor, you have to look as though you can take him. Otherwise, it's unrealistic.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to be shredded. You can be a little bit more, you know, you spend your time in bars, you work out and you can fight.
Mm.
Like you don't have to be shredded.
You don't have to be Aquaman.
You don't have to be Aquaman. Mm. You don't have to be huge Jackman.
Yep.
You know, you can.
You can be the Flash.
You can be. I tell you what. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's what I believe is a good visualization of that. The new Jack Reacher.
Oh, yep.
Now he is a well-built little boy, but he's not shredded. He's just fucking massive.
He's huge. Yeah.
But you don't see every sinew of his muscles or whatever.
No. Interestingly enough, I heard him in a podcast a little while back, and the amount of work he has to do for, I mean, he's something like, I think 6'7" or 6'8". Like
10 foot tall or something.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
But he even said for him, the amount of work he has to do for that role to keep up that fitness,
yep,
that bulkiness,
yep,
was phenomenal. Because he said he used to be like a great athlete when he was younger.
Sure.
And he'd get up and he'd just run 10K and, like, you know, just for the sake of it, because that was a fun thing to do.
Could you imagine trying to move that frame 10K?
Well, that's what he says. Now, if he tries to do that, he struggles because he's got so much more bulk he has to get out there now.
Yeah.
So he's found that, and he's also not young anymore. Mm. He's not a kid. But he said he really has to live his life differently to be able to be that way,
yep,
and keep up for that period of time. Mm. Like he said, the amount of calories kind of going in, and he's like insane. he actually takes testosterone as well to be able to keep himself at that level.
Wow.
Because it's just not something, once you get to, like, you know, the 40 mark and that, that's physically possible without help.
Yeah.
Unless you're a freak.
Yeah. Now, question then, if I'm going to spend 2 hours of my life watching a Roadhouse movie.
Yes.
Which one am I watching?
Oh, you're watching the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and the best thing is still, it's all remastered now. So it looks.
Looks great.
Yeah, other than the fact that the hairstyles are a little bit out of whack.
It's Patrick Swayze. It's good. Though. You look at.
So Patrick Swayze still looks cool.
He sure does.
It's the other people around him that don't.
Oh, lots of moulets.
Oh, there's a little bit of just casual hairstyling of the 80s.
Very casual hair. So you could watch the second one, but if you don't have time, just watch the first.
Yeah, and it was, I think it's Kelly Lynch who was the love interest in the first one.
Yes.
Like, that is some of the most 80s female hair you'll ever see.
And is it now Kelly Slater?
Identifies as a surfer.
Yes, it identifies as a surfer, yeah.
Yeah. But no, look, it's it's worth watching just for the sake of 2 hours to watch a bit of fun. Yep. A couple of the fight scenes are great. A couple of the action scenes are really cool.
And, you know,
you're not going to take anything major away from it.
Well, but you get to see the genius that is the Oscar, 5-time Oscar award winning actor, director, writer, screen editor, Conor McGregor.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. We love him.
Oh, how could you not?
Yeah, just, nod to Conor.
He's a fucking delight.
Oh, absolute delight.
Unfortunately, Mr. Barnes, we started a conversation prior to the podcast and we said,
it was nearly as athletic as Conor McGregor, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I've lost it, Neil. I know it was golf.
Yep.
But I don't know why.
We were just going down the track of how much you love golf. That's
what
it went to.
I do love golf.
We're talking about golf and we're talking about the TV show Full Swing.
Yeah, get on board that, Roadies. It's on Netflix. Yeah. If you ever wanted to understand, like, people get there and say, oh, golf, it's, you know, stupid.
Welcome to South Road Boys Reviewing.
Yeah. Watch Full Swing. It gives you an insight to golf that you probably never had and how much the game has changed from the John Daly's of it all.
Oh,
you know, where you've got big, fat, white men just hitting a golf ball to these extremely well-built, well-maintained athletes.
Yeah. Oh, there's fitness regimes behind the scenes of this sucker. They're not coming out and just hitting on a Saturday.
No, they are working out
quite
a lot. Oh, that was what it was. Who's episode 4 was about? It was Tom Kim? Thomas Kim?
Let me check it to be sure, because I haven't seen this episode.
So it's interesting, though, that I didn't realize. So there's one thing that I love about golf, right, is I really do enjoy the game. But what I enjoy the most is it doesn't really matter how well the person I'm playing against is going. It doesn't change how I perform, or it shouldn't.
Yep.
Because I'm only really competing against myself.
Just like porn. You've got a couple side by side.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how they're going. You'll still do your thing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a bit more interactive. It's,
okay,
it's not as interactive as porn.
Okay, right, cool.
You
it
I,
is Tom Kim, by the way.
Because no part of you is inside of me and no part of me is inside of you when
I mean,
we
I
play
love you
golf.
Though, man.
I understand, but it'd make my backswing very difficult.
Very difficult. Also, I'd hate to see what happens when you get a divot, like a big divot.
Replace your divots, mate. But like Tom Kim, I think, did his Achilles? Tore his Achilles tendon?
Ow.
Or one of the tendons or ligaments in his foot on the Thursday or the Friday and still went and played the rest of the round and finished top 20.
You said that's impressive.
That's fucking insane. I mean, this bloke's only 20, so he will bounce back like a teenager.
There's a fair bit of pressure on your ankles when you play golf.
Yeah.
You don't realise it.
Yeah.
But that twisting, not even necessarily the twisting, but even keeping your stability. Like your body's twisting around, your feet are staying where they are. So on your ankles, on your Achilles, there's that tautness or that tightness is there that is just, it's a lot more strenuous than what people who don't play golf would realise.
But you're still walking 5 or 10 Ks
as well. Oh, yeah, that too.
Like most people would struggle just to go from the couch to the toilet when you've done that sort of injury. And he's.
I do after I play golf.
Yeah. It's because you're old. But it was interesting to see how they will all play a practice round with each other. Like they'll just go out for a hit beforehand and do a quick cheeky 9 or whatever. And the sledging they were giving him. Baby Tom. They were calling him Baby Thomas. You know, and then he pipes up and says, well, you know, I did win 2 major tournaments before I was 16. So. You know, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But he still has got this wonderful innocence about him, this imposter syndrome where I think he believes that he should be there, and I think you have to because you're going to have to play at that level. But they're just hanging shit on him. And it's the psychological warfare that you can do in golf to just try and put someone off the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think everyone who makes the tour has the ability to win it. I genuinely believe if you've made the Saturday and Sunday – of a tournament, you have as good a chance as any, skill-wise,
to
win the tournament.
You just need the right day or 2 days.
Yeah.
Because everyone, I mean, yes, there are better players in every competition.
Of course.
But everyone that is there is capable. Mm. It becomes more a mental game than a physical game.
Yeah, like I watched the one of the new season, so season 2, and you have what's the Irishman's name?
Rory
McIlroy, who at the time was ranked number 1 in the world, the best golfer.
He's done pretty well.
In the world. And it was the first tournament where LIV golf players were playing together for a major. Mm. And they thought, well, the PGA guys have to win this because we believe we are a greater class of golfer, that LIV golfers are just money hungry and they're not the best.
Yeah, and they tend to – there is a belief that the LIV golfers too, they live more of a – I know.
Party lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. You know, fly by your pants sort of thing, where they don't maybe practice as much or train as much. So you just turn up and get the dollars.
Correct. But until you go on a tournament and you play together and one wins and one loses, you don't know. It's just all theory. And so there's a lot of pressure on Rory to win this particular event because he was ranked world number 1. He needed to come out and win, and there were LIV golfers on the field, or on the course. And he had a horror round.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
He had a horror round.
He hasn't had a good season or 2, actually.
And he it's all in my brain. It's I hit a shot and it doesn't go where I want and I don't have the ability to refocus and recover. Whereas in the past I would. And he says golf is all about flow and feel, and if things are going your way, things will continue to go your way.
You're fearless.
Yeah, but as soon as if you do make a mistake and you're in a good frame of mind, you recover.
Mm.
And there's a really good episode 3, one of the other golfers, he was doing shit. Like he was getting angry and not winning and certainly not making the cut for many, many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And his caddy said to him, if you don't go and do something about this, I'm going to leave.
Yep.
Because I'm not making money. Every time we show up and you don't make the cut.
Yeah, no, that's the only way they make bank.
I don't make money.
Yeah.
Unlike LIV golfers, everyone makes some money.
Yep.
It's
just a cash buddy cannon.
Yeah.
Just blowing it out everywhere.
And so this guy got help from a psychologist and won a major. Won a big tournament.
Yep.
And he goes, and it's got nothing to do with my skill.
Yeah.
Like it's all how I recover from that bad shot, how I focus myself when I'm doing what I need to do and setting myself for the shot. And I thought it was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So full swing, roadies, go and watch it. Do yourself a favour.
Yeah, even if you're not a full-on golfing fanatic, I think if you were just enjoy the brain side of sport.
The intestinal fortitude.
Oh, fuck, that's beautiful.
I know. It's a gift I have.
But if you just love seeing behind the scenes and seeing what the actual athletes are like behind the scenes and how that actually works and see the realism of people, you know, behind the banner, it's actually a really good show.
Eric Banner?
No, they don't Hulk out very much.
No. Yeah, so I don't know where else we were going on golf. I thought I had a really long story, but I don't.
I just know we're talking about the fact that you really love golf, and we got into something, and then we sat there and thought, why are we just talking to each other?
Yeah.
Why are we recording this shit?
Exactly.
And then for some reason, we ended up going down a completely different track. And by the time we got back, we didn't know where we were. So
damn you, French. They derailed us again.
Fucking French.
The French, vive la France.
As soon as the Olympics is over, the better.
No. Yes. Come on, bring it on. Question for you, though, Mr. Barnes, while we're on the Olympics, because you brought it up.
Righto.
How many times do you reckon Paris has hosted the Summer Olympics?
The Summer Olympics. No, they've done the Winter Olympics.
I don't know whether or not they have. All I know is that they hosted the Summer Olympics.
Right, okay. Look, I have no idea. I'm going to go out on a wing and say three.
2024 will be the third Summer Olympics that Paris has hosted.
I was kind of wrong then, because it's really only two, isn't it?
And can you give me the years?
Oh, no, I'd have no idea on that. Okay, we'll go back, though. Mm. When did the Olympics start? I'm not going back to when we had, like dragons.
Okay. Like, you're talking
like modern Olympics.
The modern Olympics.
I'm assuming that's what you're talking about in regards to hosting.
Correct.
So just as a curious point, because that does change the parameters just slightly. Allows me to just bookend it just a little. So what have you found, Joe?
Okay.
What's Goggle Machine giving you?
The Summer Olympics is also known as the Games of the Olympiad. I think we'll agree that Wiki's not going to steer us too far on that.
Wiki's normally okay.
Is often referred to as a major international sporting event, normally held once every 4 years. And on leap years, the inaugural Greek Games took part. Ooh. Okay.
Right.
So the first one we're going to call happened in Yasure in Greece in 1896. So where did it go from? Yeah, from there.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm gonna go forward and say I reckon the first one was possibly 1908.
Ooh, close, 1900.
Right.
The next Olympics was in Paris.
Right, and there's been one since then.
Yes.
And I'm gonna bring that down to, and I can't calculate my fours.
Mm.
So I'm gonna go to
between the wars.
1964 I was gonna go, but we'll go back further to maybe 1936.
Ooh, no, because that's still just between 1924.
Right.
So 1900, 1924, and 2024. What are the other two cities, Mr. Barnes, that have hosted three Olympics?
The other two cities?
Yeah.
That have hosted three Olympics.
Correct.
Because I'm good on this kind of
You trivia. Love your Olympics trivia.
I do. I live for it. I follow it so much. It's incredible. I'm going to go to London.
Correct.
Ooh.
Can you give me the years?
No, I can't give you the years.
1908, 1948, and 2012.
There you go. I knew there was one recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the other city that has hosted three Olympics? Fuck, I was very glad you got London.
Well, I'm thinking in most cases with the Olympics, because
it's got to be a big
started
city.
Over there.
True.
I would assume it would possibly be a European city or a UK, United Kingdom.
No, the next one is across the ditch.
Right, really?
Yeah.
In that case, then I'm going to go probably
across the pond is what they call it in London.
Across the pond.
Across the pond.
Okay. Well, in that case then, I'm nearly going to go to so I feel like saying something like New York or in the Americas.
You're right with the Americas.
New York doesn't sound right, though.
No, it's not. No, when they say across the pond, they do refer to it as the Americas.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be something like LA, would it?
It is. The Los Angeles will be the third.
Actually, strangely enough, when you say Los Angeles, I can now hear Los Angeles Olympics in my head.
1932, 1984, and the next one they will be hosting in 2028. So they've only done two technically, but they've been awarded three.
Yeah,
so
right.
There you go. Perfect.
Nice, beautiful.
Yeah.
LA news.
Good and in 1900, the Summer Olympics were held simultaneously with the 1900 World's Fair.
The World's Fair. What exactly is the World's Fair?
It was just this thing. It was promoting all the – it was like Beyond 2000, only a live version of it. And I believe – fuck, hang on. Let me Google this shit. I think it might be
Google.
That's when – I think that's when the Eiffel Tower was put up.
Oh.
I think that was put
up for the
opening ceremony on the 14th of April, 1900, was underneath the Eiffel Tower.
There you go.
So there you go.
Look at all the learnings people are getting this time around.
I know.
Do you reckon that's real news? It's not just like it's not fake news?
It's real news. Okay. Well, I wouldn't call it news.
Because I had more. It's interesting, the whole fake news thing. So
yeah, what do you got?
Well, Facebook, they clamp down on bullshit now as much as
have
they can.
Have they? Well, they believe really? They are. Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't believe there's any actual peoples within the Facebook world. Mm. I believe it's just little AI bots that will pull shit out of nowhere. And one of my pet hates lately is movie trailer deception.
Right.
In other words, you've got all these people now using tech, and they're clever when they do it, to pull maybe slices of different movies together, and there might be a case of, you know, brand new Deadpool 3 trailer out now.
Mm.
And it'll be pulling slices of bits and pieces, and they'll make a really good-looking movie trailer.
Yes.
And people don't realise it's got nothing to do with the movie at all. They've just brought shit together to make it look good. Everyone's coming and saying, this looks amazing, I can't wait for that film. And I'm just like fucking face-palming myself, thinking, you fucking dumbass people.
You're not going to have Batman fight Spider-Man in the new MCU DC.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, but people believe it.
But this kind of shit happens all the time. So anyway, there was one that came up the other day. I don't even know what the trailer was now.
Sure.
I just looked at it and thought, okay, good job there.
Mm.
But but everyone's kind of got all these comments of, I cannot wait for this movie and all the rest. I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. So I just commented.
Oh, no.
No, not like that.
Why do you do that?
Because I had to.
Okay, what wonderful pearly wisdoms of advice did you drop onto the internet so that you could better edumacate people?
I just said would be even better if it was actually a real trailer.
Okay.
With a little face palm.
Oh, okay.
And then, within a minute, Facebook tagged it as spam.
You got tagged as spam.
And that got removed. I said, why this happened? It looks like you tried to get likes, follows, shares, or video views in a misleading way. Your comment goes against our community standards on spam.
You are against community standards.
How does that comment? Would it be even better if it was actually a real trailer? How does that comment come in as misleading? I wouldn't have thought so.
Well,
unless a facepalm emoji now was considered to be, you know, an act of violence.
Well, it's,
I mean, a like terrorist is ISIS starting now to use facepalm emojis
or ISIS-K?
ISIS-K,
yes.
Are they the ones that have cereal?
Yeah, they're the ones that did the recent. Taken credit for the recent attack in Russia.
Oh, yeah. That's what they did too, didn't they? You know why, though?
Tell me.
Because their brand's lost a bit of strength lately.
They've gone through a rebrand.
So I don't even know if it was them. I reckon someone in a little cave somewhere has gone, you know what? We have been forgotten. So they've just gone bang and they put it up there and say, it was us.
Yes.
We did it.
It was us. But
Not us. ISIS.
ISIS.
ISIS. It was ISIS.
Things have been all quiet on the Western Front for the Durka Durkas, for the ISIS.
For a long time.
Like, people had almost, I wouldn't say forgotten, but, you know, with things happening in Ukraine and things that are happening down the Gaza Strip.
It's taken the focus away.
Yeah.
They must be disappointed.
They must be disappointed. And attention hogs, because I don't think, look, I reckon you're better off trying to start a fight with the US than you are Russia.
Oh.
there's something about Russia that says they have no rules.
More the point, they have no shame either. They don't care.
Yeah, like
we're fearless. There's that word again.
We are nuclear capable. You say you're from go fuck yourself, Astan.
Yep.
Well, that's no longer a country.
Yeah, don't care. I'm going to jump on a horse, take my shirt off, and I'm going to
drop
myself to you and throw a nuclear bomb at you.
Exactly. I'm going to shine it up real pretty and jam it straight up your fucking ass.
Goodbye.
Kaboomski.
And you know what? There's no use trying to overthrow me. Other people have tried that. They've accidentally fallen out of buildings. They've accidentally died in helicopter crashes.
Accidentally been shot 15 times.
Accidentally. I mean, don't know why it keeps happening, but it's consistent.
Grandpa Joe just doesn't really instill that level of fear as Uncle Vlad.
No, he doesn't. He could walk into a nursing home.
And they'd say, do you want a cup of tea?
And no one's concerned.
Well, no, the concern that he's gotten out for the day, that's what they're concerned about. That's the only thing. Are you sorry, sir? Have you lost yourself?
Yes, what was your room number?
What's your room number exactly? The grandkids will be along soon. Don't worry, Joe. You know, I mean, no one's terrified of him.
No. And there's why would you be?
Now, if the Don gets in.
He's crazy.
He's batshit crazy.
Motherfucker.
So if you're a go fuck yourself, Astan, I'd be concerned about starting a fight under Don's watch because I think the Don.
Go fuck yourself, Astan.
Go fuck yourself,
Astan. I think that is a real country.
Not well, anymore because they started a war with Russia.
I do think you actually made that one up, Joe.
It's probably my pronunciation.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, sorry.
Because I don't speak the local, you know.
That's it. Wasn't that the country that buddy Tony Stark went to in the first Iron Man movie?
Go fuck you, Stan. Yeah. Probably. How good a film was that, though?
Good film.
So good.
So good.
And I remember.
The birth of Marvel, essentially.
But I remember when I heard them say that they were doing an Iron Man, I'm like, really? Who likes Iron Man? Like, well, no one.
He was one of my favourites reading comics.
Was it?
Mm.
I was just like, they mustn't have much IP to play with because that's just such a.
I would always, when I used to get the comics in the local news agency, so every month when an issue came out.
Big hello to Terry.
And I would actually get these. I would always have, it was Avengers.
Yes.
Iron Man.
Yes.
Captain America. Thor. Fantastic Four and the X-Men.
Right.
That was my consistent ones all the time.
I
would occasionally get a Wolverine as well. But all those two, they were fun.
True.
But, yeah, Iron Man was always up there.
He was. Right up there.
We're in a lovely sheath.
Libby. Terry and Libby.
At the Penguin News Agency.
News Agency. They're
both in Penguin.
Are they? Big shout out if you're listening.
Yeah, it's strange to bring you back. Terry's actually the president of the Penguin Golf Club.
Is he now?
He is.
Oh, well, good on you,
still,
Terry.
Still plays off about 5 handicap, I think, too.
Fuck.
It goes right.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He must be up there a lot.
Like Iron Man.
Or because he's the president, they give him an extra couple every round.
Maybe just dogs it up a little bit.
He gets the president's 5.
It's a little bit like Trump.
Trump rules. That would be a game of golf.
Oh, wow.
So instead of bingo, bango, bongo golf, you play Trump rules.
Yep.
Each hole you get one. One something.
One something.
One something. It's like I saw a reel. And this guy went, so the rules of golf say that if you miss hit a ball and it doesn't go past the tee or it goes past the tee box, you can replace it and play again for a one-shot penalty.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen that. It's not actually correct.
No, it wouldn't be.
Because the idea is that you basically would pick the ball up,
walk
to the green, sit it on there. You've only taken a one-shot penalty.
Yes.
And then you tap it in for an eagle or whatever.
Correct, no.
Yeah. Maybe instead we could bring out Trump dice.
Yeah, right.
In other words, you've got like a 12-sided die.
So we go to the Dungeons & Dragons set?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And every hole, each person rolls a number, and that number then adds up to something. So it might be a case of hole in one.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever it might be. So you might be on a par 5 and you roll up. So yes.
Hole in one.
One.
Or.
Thank you very much.
Texas wedge. Hand wedge.
Yep.
So if you find yourself off the fairway, you can pick it up and throw it at no extra penalty.
Exactly. Just like that. Yeah. Yep. And everyone gets something.
Just one.
On a hole. Yeah.
And I do like that.
Trump dice.
I do like that. We'll have to come up with. Let's come up with something like
that. I reckon we could come up with. I mean, it doesn't need to be 12, maybe, but you need to have a few options.
6 is enough.
Yeah, so. We'll
6
see.
Commonly known little dalliances people tend to make.
Yeah, well, it might be a case of on this hole, you're allowed to have a mulligan.
Yeah.
If you don't like that shot, you can have another one.
Perfect.
No penalty.
Yep.
Well, because if you go in a creek, free drop, no penalty.
Or.
If you get near the green, you don't have to chip it, you can roll it up with your hand.
Oh, I like that. Or, how about this one? The reversies card or the swapsies card.
Oh, at like, the end of the like hole, you know.
At the end of the hole, you can swap your score with somebody else's.
Oh, that could work very well. But it makes you, if you both part it, it'd be so disappointing.
That's the nature of the beast.
True.
That is the nature of the beast. But if you're playing in a foursome and someone goes around in par and you've, you know, hit an 8
yep.
on a par 3, swapsies.
True. And more to the point, you could do like a pick-up four, except you add four shots on to the person of your choice.
Oh, pick-up two, pick-up four. This sounds brutally fun.
It could be interesting.
Do you reckon it's a dice game or do you reckon it's a card game like Uno?
Well, it could be a card game now you've mentioned kind of the Uno tragic side of it a little bit.
Yeah.
It could work.
So nine.
Do you actually receive a certain amount of cards each? So you've got, what are we, nine cards each. You dealt nine cards each.
And you can play them in any time? And
you can play whatever card you want on whatever hole, but only one card per hole.
Ooh.
That could be it.
That could be it. Mm.
Could be.
Fucking, let's come up with that. The South Road Boys golf game.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
We'll get that interested.
Disaster golf.
Disaster golf. We could make that on trademark South Road Boys.
Yeah,
we
shouldn't fuck that. Fucking,
shouldn't be giving away golden ideas like this as we do. But
well let's not really. Actually, better still, this entire conversation has probably just been bipped out.
Beep.
Beep and it's beep and it's beep and all you hear is golf. Car. Yeah. Trump.
Golf card Trump.
Like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Golf card Trump.
And then we say, trademark South Road Boys. By the way, check out Kickstarter.
Exactly. Maybe that's what it should be called. Golf card Trump.
Golf card Trump. That could work.
Well,
though.
I know what the episode's going to be called. I can tell you that for darn tootin'.
Could make it fun.
It would be great.
Yeah, I like that idea. Because you could just fuck people over.
Yeah.
That's a fun part of it.
Or it could just be a simple, it could be.
Well, you could just get a really shitty nine cards. You're just looking to go, fuck. If I've got these, imagine what these two guys have got.
Well, because you don't always get an advantage. You will have add two, add four. Maybe four is a bit of a stretch. Add one, add two. Or bogey. Double bogey. Instead of add two, add four, just bogey or double bogey.
Yep. Which could be okay because you might get a par card.
Yeah.
You might triple bogey it. But you can pull out your par card.
And say, I'll have that.
Cool. You get a four on that one.
Or you've gotten a par and you go, I need to get rid of a last card. It's a shit card. I'll take a bogey.
But here's the thing. See, here's the other great thing. I think sometimes you need to add a little bit of adventure to each card too.
Adventure golf.
Such as if it's a hole in one.
Mm.
Right, maybe you can only use a hole in one on a par three. Let's be a little bit fair.
Correct.
But you've actually got to run to the hole and drop the ball in the hole while the other guys are on the tee.
Yes. You can't take your buggy with you.
Yeah, and you've got to come back and pick up your buggy. Act as though you've just hit a hole in one. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Yes. There's style points to go with it.
Yeah, definitely.
I reckon we could make this a game.
Yeah, that could be good.
Mind you, after two rounds of bingo, bango, bongo golf, really didn't like it.
No, because
the putting was really shit.
In most cases, though, I like to play golf more as a competitive nature against myself.
Yes.
I like to play the best I can.
Yes.
And because I don't get out as much as I would love to, I don't think anyone who loves
twice
golf
a week
does, I like to do the best I can in that time frame.
Sure.
But do bingo, bango, bongo golf.
Mm.
You don't get to take the golf seriously at all. Like, you do little fucking putts and little chips and you fuck around and it was fun the first time, but after that I kind of lost the thing.
I've got another card.
That could work.
The one club.
The one club. You got to play the entire hole with one club.
One club.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just that's it.
Jeez, we'll get a list of those.
get a list of them.
This could work.
We'll do them up, and I reckon there's a way that I could probably order some cards online.
Yeah, I reckon we could definitely do that. There'd be somewhere to do that.
Of course there is.
There'd be a million places to just order cards with your own print or something.
Yeah, like a Cards Against Humanity sort of thing.
Mm.
South Road Boys in the back.
Yeah.
What are we saying?
Be South Road Boys, whatever we call it.
Bip, Trump, golf.
On the top, yep. And on the other side, you flip over.
Hey.
Is then what your card is.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's go look at how many we actually print.
We'll have to see how many we come up with, how many different permutations
it's true,
of it.
Because it's like, you know, saying, you know, there's only a certain amount of, you know, pick up four cards.
Correct.
Compared to the amount of twos.
Yes.
Like whatever else.
Yeah,
you would have to work out the importance. Like the hole in one card, you wouldn't want many of those.
You can only have one in a deck.
Yeah, it needs to be something that's special.
Yeah.
So when you get it, you're just like, fuck you.
But you could pick.
But you don't tell people what you got. You got to hide the card until you use it.
But you might have five hand wedges, where you can just pick the ball up when you're in the rough and just throw it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Love a good ham wigs.
I don't think you're doing it right if you're calling it a hand wedge.
You never know.
Well, whilst we go and get the brains trust thinking and come up with this new card game that, look, in all honesty, we hope we come up with, we hope we design, and we hope we do.
Yeah, but it's always about a hope.
We may not. Yeah.
Could end up on Full Swing Season 3. That would be traveling all the way to Tasmania, all the way to Tasmania, Australia, where these boys have come up with a card game. Trump golf card.
Trump golf card. I love it. Anyway, roadies, on that, I am Joe.
I'm Troy.
And we are the South Road Boys.
We certainly are.